other reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'"
The second part of the reading is from Matthew 13, 36 to 43, the parable of the weeds explained. "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Then they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear."
Thank you.
It's good to hear those two bits brought together. And, of all the parables that Jesus spoke, this parable comes with its explanation. So, you don't have to make a guess or a judgment on what's going to be the meaning of it. Jesus explains word for word, and I want to come back to that in a few minutes' time. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray a harvest prayer. It's actually a hymn in Sankey's hymn book. Some of you may know it as a hymn. But I just wanted to read the verses because they just pick up that note of thanks. So I wonder if we might all stand, actually, just to pray just this prayer of thanksgiving. For those who are able to do that, let's just stand before the Lord. We praise thee, O Lord, for the bountiful harvest that now has been gathered and garnered with care, rewarding the toil of the sower and reaper, while all in its blessings may share. We praise thee, O Lord, for the bountiful harvest. We praise thee for sunshine, the dew, and the rain, for soft summer breezes so gracefully bending the bright golden billows of grain. We praise thee, O Lord, for thy wonderful token that shines as it shone on thy servants of old, the pledge and assurance that seed time and harvest from earth thou wilt never withhold. We bless thee, O Lord, for thy wonderful mercies, and while to thy glory our voices we raise, O thou that regardest the prayers of thy people, accept our thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Please be seated. Words. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I want to keep on with that series, but take it with the harvest as well, from the reading that we heard together this morning. Before we look at the verse I want to highlight, let me just remind you that when Jesus spoke, the people listened, hanging on his every word. He was the sower, sowing the seeds in the hearts of his listeners. To those who had ears to hear, the results of the seed planted was remarkable. Jesus' words are transforming words. Do you know that? Do you believe that? He spoke to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Transforming from death to life. Jesus spoke to the storm. Be still. Transforming chaos to calm. And on one occasion, to show the power of his words to transform, he said to the man whose sins had just been forgiven, get up and walk. And the man did. He got up and he walked. Well, let's begin by asking, do Jesus' words in your ears have the same impact? Are we holding on to his words? Are we taking them to heart? Are we responding to his word? What life have you received? What peace have you found? What help have you found in walking in obedience to his words? As I say, I want to look at just a few words that Jesus spoke within that parable that was read so well to us. These are the words. Jesus said, let both grow together until the harvest. Let both grow together till the harvest. That's what I want us to focus in upon. Because these words surely show us the heavenly wisdom of the Lord. How often you and I jump into a situation and try and sort it out. And sometimes we can make things a lot worse because we act in the moment. We don't act wisely. We think we know what we saw. We think we know what needs to be done. But so often we can make things worse. But not the Lord. His ways and timings are perfect. Let both grow together until the harvest. These words help us to find comfort in regard to injustice in the world. Who in this building has not said, why is this going on? How is this happening? Why is the Lord not doing it? We do, don't we? We question. We look around. The wicked seem to prosper. We see evil things going on. I think, why is there no comeuppance for these people? It's wrong. It's not right. We see weeds in the field. Let both grow together till the harvest. There's comfort for us in hearing Jesus' words in this. Why does the Lord allow the weeds to grow? Well, he has greater purposes than we can ever understand. Will there be an end to the impact upon the field of this world? There will. A harvest day is set and will be. These words spoken by Jesus come with an explanation, which, as I say, is quite unusual. The other parables, you know, a little uncertainty, but you can't be unsure about this parable. But Jesus lists almost everything and tells you exactly who's who and what's what and when it's going to be. Well, not when exactly, but you know how it will be. So we're helped in our understanding and hopefully in our application of these words. Three things I want to say this morning. Three coat hangers, if you like, to hang what I want to say upon. The first, God is in control. God's control in this parable. Two words identify God's control. Let and until. Let and until. Now, to be God, by definition, you have to be in control. I mean, if God is not in control, we can go home. But God is in control. He's the sovereign Lord. There's nothing that happens he doesn't know about. We don't believe in, you know, sort of a 50% God against a 50% devil. Or we don't believe in gods, as some other religions purport to do, in battle and combat with each other. No, he is the sovereign Lord. Creator of the universe, knows us inside out, knit us together in our mother's womb. He is above all. He is the God who brought out of chaos creation. God said, And there it was. And you get that reminder in the beginning in Genesis. There was evening and morning on the first day. And there was evening and there was morning on the second day. And you get a reminder of the control of God. Different massive things happening, granted. But every day, God is the one there. God is the one involved in every way. And God showed his control in the deliverance day of his people from Egypt when they crossed the Red Sea. The Lord drove back the Red Sea with a strong east wind. Moses stretched out his hand with the rod, yes. But it was God's timing, God's way, God's power at work. His control through the wind, the direction of the wind. Like a farmer who knows the seasons, God knows the development of good and bad in our world. Sometimes it's hard for us, isn't it, to work out which is which. Such is the soup that pervades around us. Is this going to be a good thing in our world? Or is it a bad thing? I'll give you an example. Technology. Is that good or bad? Hard to live without it now, but sometimes we see the negatives, of course, of the negative impact of it. You know, there is a wonderful clock built into God's creation. As the days tick by, the light increases and decreases and impacts what we call photosynthesis. That's what happens in our world. That's why things grow. That's why, you know, we get into the autumn and the darker nights come in and things don't grow. And we wait for spring to come round again, greater light, and away we go again. The feeding and growing of seeds and plants and fruits. God has set that clock, if you like, in place. And there is another clock here in our parable. At that time, the alarm clock bell will ring. That's right on cue. Apologies, don't look that way. I will tell the harvesters, the Lord of the harvest says. At that time, when the harvest day comes, the alarm bell will ring. The spiritual harvest has a clock built into it too. I don't know, Cynthia. See me afterwards. Seriously though, folks, all right? Just as the light works the natural harvest, note that the spiritual light works the spiritual harvest. There is light, the light of the gospel, shining in our world, continues to shine until that final day of harvest. It impacts hearts and lives with the seed of God's word. That's what's going on. That's what we're about as church. We're not just meeting here, just waiting for harvest day. We've still got work to do, spreading the light in the darkness so that there can still be greater fruit, greater crop growing in the fields, wheat where there was once weeds. For the seed is watered and the seed produces sprouted shoots and fully formed heads. You hear the gospel. Think of your own testimony as a believer, if that's what you are this morning. You heard of God's love for you, sending Jesus to die for you. You realized it was for your sin. The seed was into your heart. But from that, your life has been transformed and changed. You're in relationship with God and with one another. It's blossomed, it's grown. And it should go on growing and growing and growing in the light of the Lord. Fruit to grow. Yes, there's prunings, of course, but there's more fruit, much fruit. Fruit that will last to his glory. Now, how skillful a farmer must be to work the land as he does. To know the times and the seasons, the best time to bring in the harvest. But how much more so the one who oversees the harvest of our souls. He's in control. The times are in his hands. We can relax in that. God is in control. But what about the weeds? Then the weeds also appeared, says verse 26. Well, we know from the very start that God created what was perfect, but man, in his foolishness, sinned against God. We call it the fall of humanity. Rebelled against God. It brought separation, not freedom, from God. For actually to be free is to be under God's full control. But note how God was and is already ahead of Adam, even at the beginning. He's already prepared a way for Jesus to come, to be the sacrifice for sin. As Peter puts it, a lamb without blemish, he was chosen before the creation of the world. So when I say God's in control, never think for a moment God is trying to catch up with anything. He's in control. He's ahead of us. He allows us the free will. But he prepared in advance, even before creation, his Son to be our Saviour. What a God. It's God's desire that none should perish, but that all should come back to him. Let's remember that. There's no one beyond his grace at this moment living on this planet. Obviously, as they die, they are beyond it. So there's work for the church to do. But as with the annual harvest, there is a season, a let until. So it is with the spiritual harvest. It goes on, but it won't go on and on and on and on forever. Some have us basically in this some sort of, you know, a cosmos that just goes on and on. No, 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 no. There is a harvest day in this. There is a purpose. There is a finishing line that's spoken of everywhere in Scripture, really, so many times. We cannot ignore it. We shouldn't ignore it. We should be encouraged by it. But God's control involves his power. But our text also reveals God's care, which includes his gentleness. Here's the contrast. Often that which is powerful is not gentle. You know, the big brute of a boxer very rarely is very, you know, the two. But here, we have God's control, but God's care. Because we see weeds grow among the wheat, and the servants say, let's pull them up. Let's get rid of them. No, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. That's our God. That's the care for each one of us. God's care is seen in so many different ways. A little reference in the Old Testament to the Israelites and how their sandals didn't even wear out on their journeys. God's in the little details. He cares to the nth degree. And he still cares. He notices when the sparrows fall to the ground, as Jesus taught us. He knows you, he knows me, he knows what we need. The pagans run after all these things, including petrol yesterday. But your heavenly Father knows what you need. Do we commit everything to him in this way? Lord, you're in control, and I know that you care. So I trust you. God is aware of what is happening in the field. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should ignore the growth of the weeds around us in our world. How intertwined the wheat and the weeds have become. In towns like Rochford, weeds and wheat grow together. In families, weeds and wheat. In fact, in our own hearts, we need to be rooting out anything that grows that would dishonour him. The separation, the weeding out, will be performed on that final day. But God, in his love and care, does not want to damage even the fledgling, growing wheat, that nothing might be lost. A reminder in this parable, you are the wheat if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not the harvester, okay? You are the wheat. And it is sometimes easy to sort of, you know, be a Christian with a bit of a critical, judgmental sort of side to us. We are what we are by the grace of God. And God is at work, and we need to be gracious and see that he's at work in others. That's not to excuse sin. Clearly, when sin is sin, we need to identify it. But we're all sinners saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the wheat grown from the gospel seed. Wheat that can spread more seed around us. So let's spread that seed together. Let us become all the Lord has made us to be. He cares for us. He's in control of things. And the final point, the final coat hanger, if you like, is God's collection, God's final harvest. Grow until the harvest. When's your collection day? Are you a Thursday or a Friday? Thursday, most of you?
Thursday.
You know what I'm talking about straight away. Removing of the rubbish. Thursday. If you drive over towards Warner's Bridge on a Friday, you see all the traffic and you go, oh, it's bin day. Well, apart from when they're queuing for petrol, of course. But you see, you know, it's a collection day. Every week, we're used to that. I saw somewhere in the week as well that the post office are talking now about not just delivering letters, but collecting from your house. That's a different way of doing it. But God is well ahead of the post office, for he has delivered us from our sin, and he's coming to collect us with the promise of safe arrival. I trust him more than I trust the post office. But God is a gathering God, isn't he? God is a gathering God. Let me just give you a few examples of this. In the very beginning in creation, recorded in Psalm 33, he gathers the waters of the seas into jars. In Deuteronomy 30, talking of the promise he made with his people, the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back, even though they'd gone off and gone astray. He promised to gather them up. As a shepherd, Isaiah 40, he tends his flock, gathers the lambs in his arms. As a hen with chicks, how often I long to gather you together. Jesus' words in Matthew 23, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. As a farmer of sheep and goats, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He gathers. He's a gathering God, drawing to himself. Well, praise God, that is so. I don't want a God who keeps pushing everybody away. I want a God who will embrace and receive us in grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. He will gather on that final day. He has his harvesters, his angels, under his instruction. The wheat and the weeds separated. You heard it read. You heard the explanation Jesus gives. We don't know the day. I saw something this morning about somebody saying, you know, Jesus hasn't returned because we've not given enough money. Some church somewhere. What? No, we don't. The day and the hour is not known to us, but we've got plenty of signposts that the day is near and the day is coming. And that text tells us that the harvest and what the outcome of the harvest will be. The furnace of frustration. You know, some people say, oh, hell's going to be a big party. I want to be part of it. I don't think so. A furnace of frustration. Ever been frustrated? Yeah, once or twice a day. Would you like to be frustrated all the time? It's a description of hell. The freedom and fulfillment for the wheat is what I want you to focus on. For that's what is yours in Christ, if that's where you are this morning. Because it talks about beyond the harvest, and it talks about relationship. Now, we've got a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus now, by faith. But what a relationship eternally, to belong to the Lord. Into my barn, says the parable, from his field, the kingdom of their Father. It's all relational. It's the fulfillment of what we were made to be. It's heaven. He talks about being gathered together. And it's something wonderful, isn't there, about Christian fellowship, of being together in this way. And that won't be lost in heaven. There's a togetherness in the harvesting time as well. For all who've received the gospel seed, yes, there's work to do so that others will join with us. We have a very special service, and David will say something in a few moments about it next week. Back to church, bring a friend service. We want this place full. We want everybody to come in and to hear, to receive that seed of the gospel for their lives to be transformed and changed. And we're in this together. We've all got to do what we can do where we are. Because this final harvest day is coming. Now, I hope you're looking forward to it. We don't need to look with fear and trepidation if we're in relationship already with the Lord. But we do live in a world that's living for the moment, reaping what it sows, reaping one weed after another weed. And it can be depressing and draining upon us. So we need to keep this day, this harvest day before us, this glorious future when the Lord gathers all together those who are his, to spur us on. Keep growing. Keep making a difference. You say, oh, well, Rochford's full of lots of weeds growing up. How can we turn things round? Well, as wheat, we need to get bigger and stronger, don't we? Because the bigger and stronger we are in our faith, the more impact we will have on what's around us in the field. We need the Lord to strengthen us and to help us. Yes, we need to reach out to others to sow the seed, to spread what the Lord has done for us so others can find it for themselves as well. In a moment, we're going to sing hymn 266. And I chose it because it includes these words. I'm afraid it's got some high notes in it as well, just to apologise on that. But this I know, all flesh shall see his glory, and he shall reap the harvest that he has sown. And some glad day his sun shall shine in splendor when he, the Saviour of the world, is known. That day is coming. But we want to make him known now so that people can live for his glory and know what a wonderful Saviour we have. Well, sing it now. Turn to 266. Let's sing this together, remembering that God is in control and that he cares, and that this collection day is coming. A day not to be feared, but to look forward to. A day to spur us on for when he comes. Oh, what a transforming day that will be. Let's sing together 266 and remind ourselves of how it's possible for us to enjoy that eternal day, that eternal life, through the Lord Jesus giving himself for us. 266.